All right, this morning we're going to be looking at question and answer, so let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that these brothers from around the world, Lord, have wrote this month to ask questions. And so, Lord, we have seven, eight questions to look at, and they represent many countries around the world. So, Father, we just ask you to be with us this morning and help us, Lord, as we understand better what's happening in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. Well, these are the questions for October ministers' meeting. We quit having the meetings about 2 months ago, but they're still sending questions each month. But it was getting to be too much with so many languages that it would just take too long, you know, speaking English and then hearing it translated into two different languages, Spanish and French. And so it just got to be too much time. So I decided that we would just, these things are translated by Tuesday. They're into like six different languages. So there's no sense in just, you know, taking 4 or 5 hours to have minister meetings and when they can read them 2 days later. So, all right. So with that in mind, the first question is from the seven church ages. Those in the bride do only his will, Brother Bram said. No one can make them do otherwise. And I love that because... need to magnify it. Okay. And I think we'll put the... There we go. Okay. He said, no one can make them do otherwise. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Now, that's the problem that we have in this message, is that every minister thinks that, well, you know, I've got this idea and I got that idea, and they're not saying what the prophet said. And so, you know, if we stick with what he said and take it back to the Bible, we're fine. But if we come up with our own ideas of what certain words mean, and they don't mean that at all, then, you know, or they're contrary to what he gave us as a definition, then it's their mind versus the mind of God. So I would take God's mind over it. Well, anyway, so they know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his word. He did not complete all of his work while his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. Now, that doesn't mean that we run off with a bunch of, you know, like the Pentecostals do and try to impersonate the gifts of God. But it does mean that, you know, not only Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe, but John 14, 12, he said, he that believeth in me. And we found that in 19 different languages, I mean, we could have gone to more, but I just, you know, I gave the English, the French, the Spanish, the German, the Polish, you know, all the way through. And in all those languages, it says either they that believe or the believer, okay? It doesn't say he as if it's just one person, okay? So anyway, but, you know, what do you do if you're a French-speaking person and you read they that believe and there's a doctrine that says, it says, he that believeth, and that's only one person. Well, now, if only one person could do the works of God, then I'm sorry, but God's a pretty much of a failure because he promised us as people that we would have the same life in him. And if we have the same life in him, we would have the same nature as he has. And if you have the same nature, you're going to do the same things. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to have the certain things that a prophet does, like discernment. All right, a prophet has discernment. He has the sign of Messiah. That's not for us. That's for the prophet. But we see that through the ages. And you see through the ages, certain people have done certain things, and they've done the things. You know, I mean, St. Patrick's, they say, raised 7 people from the dead. Martin and Columba both raised about 2, and Brother Bram raised 5. And so we see, you know, these things. I mean, so we have evidence throughout the scriptures that it's not just one person, okay? And then, you know, also, I just like to say, Brother Branham never said play the tapes. He said say what's on the tape. So you've got to say it in order to say what he's saying. And but if you just play it, that's fine. You know, it's good to listen to tapes, but it doesn't do exactly what he said. He said, say what's on the tapes, okay? So, you know, there's a lot of people coming up with their own ideas that don't make any sense. But you know what? We want to do what the prophet said, okay? So he says, she knows that, for it was not yet for him to do certain things that he must do now, that he must now do. But he will fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. All right, another quote they gave was, so it could identify its presence among you, see, but it will not be used in a way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. Because what I have reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here. So he's talking about his ministry, okay? Watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it, but it's going to be used. And everyone knows that for a certain, as the first was identified, in other words, the first poll, so the second has been identified. And if you think real closely, you who are spiritual, as the Bible said, here's to him who has wisdom. The third is properly identified. See, we know where it is, so the third pole is here. So the question then does, it says, does the expression for this specific time until this council begins to tighten up or waiting for the time to use it or be manifested in the fullness of his power? So the answer then to the first question is, first of all, he told us it was his third pole. It's not your third pole. It's not the bride's third pole. The bride doesn't speak and these things. It's his third pole, all right? He said Jesus had a third pole. He has a third pole. It's his third pole. It's not our third pole. The third pole is for us, but it's not by us, okay? So just get that out of your thinking, that you're going to speak bread on the table. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're not, well, the third pole does not do that anyway, okay? Secondly, he told us it has already been manifested. So it's already been manifested. We have seen it. Thirdly, he says it will remain quiet for that time, until that time. Well, what time is he talking about? He's talking about the time the council begins to speak, to tighten up, waiting for it to be manifested in its fullness. Of his power. See, he wasn't manifested in his fullness. Oh, sure, you had two squirrels spoken in existence. You had, you know, Hattie Wright's son. You had a few of these things take place. But that was only an optic that God gave us. In other words, he gave us a clue as to what it is, okay? Fourthly, he told us, when that time comes, and that time is when the council of churches begin to tighten up, and that's the same time when the squeeze comes on and the time of the resurrection is at hand. Now, he has already told us that the third pole has already been identified. That means it has already been manifested. And it is his third pole that I believe it has to do with his ministry, which is not over yet. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, Brother Graham's dead. Yes, and he's going to have a post-resurrection ministry. Jesus had a post-resurrection ministry. Elijah comes back and has a post-resurrection ministry. Moses comes back. He has a post-resurrection ministry. It's all through the Bible. Okay? Now, one thing you are failing to remember, he has a pre- and post-resurrection ministry, the same as Moses, the same as Elijah, will have a post-resurrection ministry. Jesus already has had one. Therefore, I believe it will take place in that little room when we receive our body change, because the third pole is the spoken word and it brings forth life. Okay? Now, every evidence, remember the five identifications of the third pole, and I think I mentioned four of them in my September question and answers. And they were first the squirrels. That was creation life. That happened twice. Second, Hattie Rice boys. That was the imparting of life. Third was the fish that was resurrected. That was resurrection life. And fourth is a storm in Colorado, which was restoration life. And I believe the fifth was his wife, Mita's tumor, which was also restoration life as well. Now, you don't hear other people preaching this stuff, but it's what he did. It's exactly what he did. Now, from the seventh seal, Brother Branham said, and just then he picked me up, and he took me up, and he set me way up on high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent place over in the side. Yeah, that's what he said. Looked like a tent place over in the side. Where was it? Well, he said he picked me up into a high place. So you say, well, now, I don't understand exactly. Is a tent going to be in another dimension? Well, he says he took me up and set me way up to where a meeting was going on, looked like a tent place over in the other side. Now, I will just say this. So you say, is he saying it's going to be there? And I don't know. And he says, I seen that the light was talking to somebody above me. Now we know that's in another dimension. That light that you see there on the picture, we see that one there, and yeah, that, okay. And that's another dimension. You see it in the picture. It's not an AI of it, but it's an icon. In other words, it's a photo. That's a different technology altogether. And remember, that thing was not seen by the visible eye, so it wasn't in this three dimensions. It was seen by the camera, which picked up a fourth dimension, like a radio and a television picks up a fourth dimension. Okay? So he said, it whirled away from me like that and went over to the tent and said, I'll meet you there. And said, this will be the third pole. So let's look at what he said. And went over to that tent and said, I'll meet you there. He said, this will be the third pole. This what? The tent. All right? It'll take place in there. I'll meet you in there. This is the third pole, and you won't tell it to nobody. Why? Because you're going to be, they're not going to be aware of what you're aware of. In other words, when we're caught up out of here or caught up, maybe put it this place, when the resurrection takes place, and you see into that other dimension those people that have already been raised, like they did in Alpha. You know, there was 500 witnesses of the saints walking around. So somehow the people saw into another dimension, like Brother Branham is saying right here, I've seen into another dimension. This is the third pole, and you won't tell it to nobody. And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pole. So question number two then, what does it mean while saying, so the third pole is here? Where is it really? Okay. Well, it was thoroughly identified in three dimensions that we live in. And the word here means in this place or at this point. So I guess here means here or in this dimension we are now in. So he saw it in another dimension, but it's going to be here because that's what he said. He said it was identified, which means it was manifested. Now, from look away to Jesus said, now I must continue in evangelism just as I was commissioned first and I must continue. Therefore, you have heard the word, and you know what to look for, how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism. And friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on. Okay, so that is for us to do. For the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. In other words, you don't have to do anything but keep still. Live the life. All right? But something is going to be done. So who is going to do it if all that you have to do is to stand still? Like Paul said, when you've done all you can do, then just stand, right? Isn't he saying the same thing Paul said? All right, he is going to do it. It's his third pole. It's not yours. You don't have to worry about, you know, hocus pocus, hocus pocus, here's some food on my table. You don't have to worry about it. It's not for you to do. You're to enjoy your life as a Christian, living the life, just be at peace. And it's going to happen in God's timing. And it isn't even Brother Branham actually doing it, although it's his third pole. But it's God doing it through the prophet, like Amos 3:7. God does nothing but unless he reveals it through his prophet. So we must wait. That's all we have to do. Now, you might see some little odd things happen from me.
Nothing sinful, I don't mean that, but I mean something odd to what the regular trend. Because what I have reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. Huh? I'm waiting for the time to use it. I'm waiting for the time to use it. It's his third pole. I'm waiting for the time to use it. It's not about you using it. It's not about you, you know, getting so much faith that, you know, it's not about that. It's about him and God's timing. I'm waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used, and everyone knows that for a certain as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you'll think real closely, you are spiritual, as the Bible said. Here's to him who has wisdom. The third is properly identified. See, we know where it is, so the third pole is here. And as I've gone over with you, there's five different times he used it. Actually, six if you count the two squirrels, two different times. So, but he said it's properly been identified. It will happen when God is ready for it to happen. And I will do it when he says so. Now, from his sermon, Look Away to Jesus, he said, so now I'm going to say something to you that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer, the third pole has now been vindicated, and I'm sure that you know what it is. So the fact that we don't have to be a rocket scientist, it was used in the presence of others, and it was vindicated as well as identified. It's identified by us, but it was vindicated by who? God, right? So he says God vindicated it, and we have identified that it exists, but we must stand still until God is ready to use it again by his prophet. Because first of all, Amos 3 and 7 tells us God doesn't do anything without first using a prophet. Secondly, it is his third pole of his ministry. And thirdly, his ministry is only half over. A lot of people think, well, Brother Branham's dead. Brother Vail's dead. No, they're coming back in a resurrection, all right? So don't be carnal. This life is not all there is to us. We're coming back in a better condition, all right? Then he continues to say, now remember, there'll never be any impersonation of that because it can't be, it cannot be. Now, it is in existence, and I am warned of this, that soon, right at this time, now it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you. So if it can identify its presence, then it is not an inanimate object. And we have seen five examples of where it brought life. So then who is the author of life? God is the author of life. And God is the Word. And so is God's presence. So it is what God will do. See, but it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. So that's a marker for you. The council beginning to tighten up. And when it does, then that happens, that does. So what will be used in a great way until this council tightens up? God's spoken word. It will not be used in a great way. The Pentecost and so forth cannot almost impersonate everything that he's done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of his power. See, so he is telling us, the squeeze has to do with not only the economy tightening up, but when that does, we will see the council tighten up as well. So I think the council is looking for their optic of the economy. That's my own thinking. Like that is the optics to where the council of churches begin to do what they have been waiting to do. Because Brother Brown said they're waiting back then, but they've got to wait for certain things to happen too. Now, it's not a matter of trusting in a mortal man to do anything. But the hat has to be on the chair, so to speak. From the for the vision to be fulfilled. You remember the hat on the chair, okay? He is telling us when God will speak through his chosen vessel, then God will create, restore life again. We have already seen how he will do it. People limit God, but there is no limiting of God. It matters not that William Branham died. That does not limit God. God can bring him to life again in the resurrection. So God is going to do it with Moses. He's going to do it with Elijah. He did it already with Jesus. He's going to do it again to William Branham. So God is waiting until that time that the council begins to tighten up, and I believe that can't begin until there's a move to tighten up the economy. Because remember, the world is using the word squeeze from the Wall Street Journal and onward. They've used it many, many, many times as an economic tightening. Now, we all know that President Trump is big with the evangelicals and fundamental churches. He has them in his pocket. Kamala doesn't pay them any attention except in pandering to the black churches because they think she is black. She's not black. And that is only because she tells them she's black. She used to tell them she's an Indian. Now she tells them she's black. She used to speak like an Indian. Then she speaks like a Spanish person. Then she speaks like she's from Jamaica. You know, then she speaks a black lingo. I mean, she's a chameleon. That's what Kamala means, chameleon, okay? I'm just saying that. I don't really know that, but, you know, anyway. So don't get hyped up on that. Okay? But they have woken up. They realize that they have scammed. And their DNA is there is no DNA of black heritage in her family tree. Her family, her own aunts and uncles tell you that. They say, we are not black. We're Irish and we're English and we're Jewish. So she is a progeny of Jewish, English, and Irish slave owners. Did you know that? They had 10,000 slaves. Her grandfather did. 10,000 slaves. And when they sold all the slaves, they got $11 million back then. $11 million of money, you know, for reparations, for this, to pay off so the people go free. The picture of an old black woman that is holding her in her book is a person that is not her grandma, as she states. Her grandma was Irish. She looks more like she had been a slave herself or a descendant of a slave. Now, from his sermon, Question and Answers, someone asked him the question about how it will take place. And they ask him this question that he reads. So he says, this is the third pole. And it's speaking, if you notice that you're near New Saul, but all of you do notice, everything Brother Brown says is in blue unless he's quoting scripture, it's in red. And if he's not quoting it and it's in red, it's also a scripture. And usually I'll put down where the scripture's from. My words are in black and white, okay? Just so that you see the difference. Now, this is the third pole, he says, and is speaking the word. This, the third pole, is speaking the word. Okay, so that's what he tells it is. It seems entirely possible, someone's asking him a question. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word, and one would be completely and fully restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection. Notice, in the resurrection, the Son of Man. Okay? This is so, or is it not? They're asking him a question. And you would do this if properly pressed upon. In other words, well, maybe if we can get enough people to press on you, Brother Bram, you're going to do it. He said, no, no, no. He said, my dear friend, see, now I think here that you have a good statement. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Now, that would be so, you said, Brother Bram. In other words, here's what I want. I don't think that is. I believe, not polishing up what you said, but I believe I can make it a little clearer to the people. See, you are believing because of the spoken word and things like that, that he said about, and all of you here witness the squirrels and all these other things that's been done. But did you notice that was sovereignly given? End of story. Sovereignly given. I never asked him, Lord, let me do this. Speak these things. Do these things here. I never asked him. he, by his own divine will, came to me and said, you go down and do this. See, I wasn't asking one thing about it. Moses never asked to go into Egypt, but God that sent him down to Egypt, see. So it is never about the vessel doing anything, but watching how God uses that vessel to do what he wants done. So it is all about God and his timing. From a sermon, Souls in Prison, he said, in the first and second pole is without question. Or if the first and second pole is without question. Is there a question in your mind about the first and second pole? Did it come to pass just like he said? Remember, God said, you want squirrels? Okay. Speak. Tell me where you want them. Speak. He said, well, I want one on that sycamore tree over there. God did it. William Branham didn't do it. Well, you want the next one? I want it underneath that pile of logs over there that a squirrel wouldn't be. There it is. Okay. So you see, about Hattie Wright. She just said the right thing, and God, and Brother Branham said, ask anything. And then God said to him, listen, Brother Branham didn't say, well, I got the power to tell you to ask anything. No, he said, God told me, ask anything you want. She asked for the salvation of her two kids. Poof, it happened. All right, so it's not about William Branham. It's about just a vessel, a voice that God used to do it. But it's about God's timing. If the first and second pole is without question, we saw them happen. Is there a question in your mind about the first, second pole? Did it come to pass just like he said? You know, the watch would break and he'd get the little bumps over his hand. He had the discernment to talk about those things. We all saw that happen tens of thousands of times. Then why question the third? Why would you question? The first two was identified by the scripture. I proved to you this morning that the third's identified by the scripture too. Look around the world and see where she's at. Look how they have rejected the truth and how it's been properly identified, the prophecy part. And where are we at? Oh, God, be merciful. Now, that makes my heart bleed on the inside. What about it? Where are we at? So the third question says, so now he works in and through the bride. Is it what he quoted in Shalom? That one time he said about the third pole, how it would come by his own, by this own way, or this one way, then by knowing the heart and then the spoken word. Jesus said, greater things that you do, for I will go to my Father, John 14. The works that I do shall you do also, greater than this, for I go unto my Father. And in his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, this is the close of the royal seed's waiting. He's here, the appearing of Christ. Did you ever try to divide? There's an appearing in the Bible, you know. I believe that place he's speaking about is 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the appearing. I ain't got time to go into it, it says the appearing of Christ and then the coming of Christ. That's two different things altogether, the appearing and the coming. Well, then scripture also says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he's put down coming. So the question to number three, what do you think about it? Well, you did not ask me a Bible question. You only asked me to respond to your labeling of a quote as pertaining to the appearing and then the scripture as pertaining to the coming. Then in your question, you said, what do you think about it? Well, I try not to say things that he didn't say because he said, we have no thought coming. So just believe what Brother Branham said about it. Remember, he did say there's appearing and the coming. They're two different words, means two different things. The appearing is now and the coming will be. That's what he said. If you can identify what he said by the Bible, that is good. But you are safest saying what he says about the Bible, then you know you have it right. In other words, God is an interpreter of his word. How does he do it? He brings it to pass. So when you have a prophet point out the things God is bringing to pass, you have a sure word, like Peter said, a more sure word. Now, from quotes for number four, the spoken word's original seed, he says his preaching will be with the spirit and straight line of God's word. Because so much has been called God's truth, many will misunderstand this true messenger. I've got wrote here prophecy, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, prophecy. Because so much has been called God's truth by fakers, many true ministers will misunderstand that messenger. So, many true ministers will misunderstand that question. How could this be possible if they are true? That's what he's saying. How could this be possible? Many true ministers are going to miss it. Well, the answer to question four is, remember, our being in the bride is by election. A man can be a genuine prophet like Balaam was and not even understand. Okay? So can a man be an apostle like the 12 and not understand certain things and not understand other things. It depends on your mindset. Many ministers are no doubt in this truth we call a message, but because they listen to a slant on the word given by other ministers, they are looking at it in a wrong way. Just look at the 12 apostles. None of them could fully put it together until the apostle Paul was raised up by God to do it. And what about the two prophets of God? God told one to go home a certain way. He's a true prophet. And another true prophet told him what God told him to say. You're supposed to go another way. God changed his mind. Now, they both wanted to do what God said, but the one prophet got confused by the other prophet. Yet, they were both prophets of God, but the first prophet thought that God must have changed his mind. But God never changes his mind. So he was wrong in his doctrine. Now, just because a person is wrong in his doctrine does not make him not a Christian. All right? He is a Christian. Brother Brown said we should love him as a brother. He says, if you come to church and believe and disbelieve everything I say, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he said, you're still my brother. Where is that in the churches today? It's like the world in politics. It's all man against man. It's or man against woman. It's all just, you know, our camp against their camp. I don't believe in any camps. I believe that this word is right. Yet they were both prophets of God, but the first prophet thought that God must have changed his mind, but God never changed his mind. You should have known that. Or he should have known that and said, well, my brother, I don't doubt what God told you. But he told me not to go any other way home. You see, that's why when people came to Brother Branham and they said, well, the Lord, he wants to send me to Africa. I said, well, then go, brother. I can't say nothing against it. The Lord told you. Huh? Or how about when Brother Branham, Billy Paul's dad, two people came about reproductive rights. And the one, you told him, well, go ahead and do it. And the other, you said, don't do it. Why did you tell them two different things? And Brother Ram said, well, because one told me what they're going to do, and the other asked me for my advice. Brother Vail used that all the time. People will come to him and say, well, you know, we're going to get married. He says, fine, get married. Then they say, well, Brother Vail told us to get married. No, he just said, you know, just you're going to do what you're going to do. He didn't say it's right according to Scripture. You see, had he listened fully to God, he would not have met the fierce animals that he would have, and he would have gotten home safely, but he listened to another man instead. Brother Vail, a true teacher, admitted he did not understand fully what Brother Branham's ministry was all about until years after the prophet came and went. He had understood many of the doctrines, but it wasn't until 1977, which was 12 years after the passing of the prophet, that his eyes were opened by other scriptures to what really took place in this hour, and he studied the appearing versus the coming, because Brother McHugh's had been preaching it for 10 years. All right? Brother Vail told me that. Then in 77, he saw it in the word parousia, and he studied that out. Now we got a good understanding. This ministry wasn't about just God sending a prophet, but God himself had come down. So quotes for question number five. Brother Vail was not, that didn't make him false because he didn't understand everything at the time. You will understand it when you're supposed to understand it. Okay? So just trust God. If you're not trusting God, then you're trusting man. Then you're trusting your ability to study this word out in such a way that you have. And the Bible says, you know, though a man can know all prophecies and yet not have love, he's nothing. Okay? So, quotes for question number five. Concerning a woman divorced for fornication, you quote the prophet in marriage and divorce. See that original back there from the beginning now. Remarrying now, notice he can, but she can't. Like David, like Solomon, like the continuity of the whole Bible. Now, same as David and the rest of them. Then we read in Deuteronomy 24 and 1, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness, that's speaking of fornication, in her, then let him write a bill of divorcement and give it to her and send her out of his house. So the answer is, okay, so that is one thing, and he based his decision on her false vow, claiming one thing and it wasn't true. So that made her a liar. So not only did she fornicate before she married him, but she lied about it to him. That makes her, that means that she continued in the sin, okay? And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. So a further question, number five, is, okay, so the word says she may go, she may not, she may or may not. In other words, he says she may go and be another man's wife. Well, she may and she may not. If she wants to do God's perfect will, she won't. But if she wants to fornicate, let her go off. And see, that is not a permission to do it. That's like Brother Vail. They said, well, we want to get married. Oh, go ahead and do it. You know, you're telling me God told you you can get married? You go ahead and do it. Do what you think God's telling you to do. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't so from the beginning. See, but what she may do on her own. So it's not a permission. It's a permissive will. So the entire answer to question five is now, did it not say it was okay for her to do so? But she said she may go and be another man's wife. In the quote, she can't remarry, but in the scripture, she can be another man's wife. So you ask the question, what do you think about it? You think Brother Branham is not quoting the scripture when he says she can't remarry? Now listen, first of all, this has to do with his finding out she had fornicated before her marriage. Then he finds out she is also a liar. This discovery nullifies the vow because it was made through fraud. She told him she was a virgin, and then he discovers she was not. Secondly, we must look to the prophet and what he said. And according to what Jesus said, it wasn't so from the beginning. Now, Brother Vail, when he preached on marriage and divorce, he said there's just one word, it's mentioned 17 times in marriage and divorce, just one word, and you'll get your answer. That's all he said about it. And I called Brother Vail. I said, look, I've got to teach these ministers around the world, and you're playing games. And I said, now, what one word? And he said, beginning. It wasn't so from the beginning. Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning. So the scripture says, they say it unto him, why didn't Moses then command. Now listen, these people thought Moses, they thought more of Moses than they did of Jesus, because they didn't know that was God that was in a vessel. All right? Then commanded to give a writing of divorcement and put her away. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. There's your answer. And both Brother Branham and Jesus are saying the same thing. So when a man asked Jesus why Moses had given them a right to divorce, then that Jesus said, because of the hardness of their hearts, God permitted it, but from the beginning it was not so. Although man was permitted to give her a bill of divorcement, that was the permissive will. That's why it uses the word permitted. That means permissive will, because of the hardness of your hearts. But the perfect will of God was to look at how it was in the beginning, and then you have the right pattern. So quote number 6 then from Hebrews chapter 6. That's one good thing. That's one good thing. I won't have to cross it. One of these days we're coming down to the end of the road. The sun will refuse to shine. Then God will call. He'll call. Adam will reach over and shake Eve and say, honey, here it is. It's time to wake up. Eve will reach over and get a hold of Abel and say, come forth, darling. It's time to wake up. And Abel gets a hold of Seth, and Seth gets a hold of Noah, and Noah will get a hold of on down to Abraham, and down as they come. There'll be a great shaking and awakening when the Son of God comes. We'll stand in his likeness at that day. But in Matthew 27, they're still asking the question with a quote, then they're reading a scripture. But in Matthew 27, 52, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So the question is, in the quote, the Old Testament saints are raised when he comes. But in the scripture, they were already when he cried out. So will they raise twice? Now, this person is not reading the scriptures properly. Answer number 6, no. A careful look at the scripture does not say that it says they were awakened at the cry from the grave. And when it says they came out of the grave after his resurrection, remember, like William Branham said, they were awakened. God awakened them, and then Adam says, "Hey Eve, come on, it's time to go." Then she said to Abel, "Come on, Abel, it's time to go." See, they were awakened, but they didn't come out of the grave until after his resurrection. That's what the person's reading that comma. They think, "Oh, they came out of the grave." Well, then they came out of the grave after his resurrection too. They had two bodies. I know some people believe in two souls, but, you know, that's ridiculous, okay? So they were awakened at the cry from the grave, and then it says they came out of the grave after his resurrection. Remember, they had to wait on him just like we are to do now. He had to lead captivity captive. So let's just read it for ourselves. Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, Brother Brown said, that's like the voice, you know, shout, voice drop. He said, that's the voice of resurrection, okay? But when Jesus cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. Period, comma, colon, semicolon, whatever. Then it says, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, if you stop here, then it looks like there was a resurrection take place. But let's read on and see exactly what took place. And is a conjunction. It links the two together. It links the bodies of the saints arising with, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection. and then went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So you see, with most of the scripture, if we don't read it all, we can end up with a distorted understanding. It's just like the oneness mindset does in reading John 14, 7 to 9. He says, Jesus says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Phil saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice. Jesus saith unto him, I have been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? And so the oneness will say, well, see, he was the Father. But if we read the very next verse, we get the full understanding. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Puts a whole new perspective on it, doesn't it? From question number 7. You stated that there will be no election and that woman will not be elected. So our question with the following facts: the support of the right of abortion, the promotion of LGBT politics, etc. Don't you think that really she will not be elected by women's vote? Well, according to this quote from the prophet, could a woman president in the United States be elected by the popular female vote? So, answer to question 7 is, first of all, we must always remember that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So it really does not matter what I think will take place or what anyone else thinks will take place for that matter. But God, what God has said. He also says when the Pope comes out of America, has that happened yet? And we are still waiting on that. So don't you think the wise and the prudent thing for us to do is to wait for God to interpret what he meant? Otherwise, we might miss what he has told us would happen. Brother Branham said that the way men miss God is that they are always looking forward and always looking backward and fail to see what God is doing now. So why jump the gun and say, well, I'm predicting that, you know, this or I'm predicting that? Just wait. So as much fun as it can be to speculate sometimes, I think we need to be ready no matter what happens. Therefore, just watch and pray like the scripture says. So question 8 then, this is from South America. Is this question from the prophet referring to Kamala Harris as a beautiful but at the same time cruel woman? Well, I don't think she's beautiful, so I would have to disagree. If she's one, I'd have to disagree with the prophet on that one. But I think I'm entitled to have my opinion as to what is beautiful because it's in the eyes of the beholder, right? But from the 7 church ages, he says, in the 6th vision, a very beautiful, but at the same time, very cruel woman arose in America. She had the people completely under her power. Now, honestly, that speaks more of Hillary Clinton than it does of Kamala Harris. Most black men, 56% of black men, don't want her. They think she's a phony. All right, so only 44% of women do in that case. So she's not, it's not a woman's majority in that case. Same with the Hispanic people, all right? It's only the whites that have a little bit, because we have more women than we have men. Most men are dead because they work too hard and are in the grave with a heart attack. Now, I believe this was the advancement of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, wait a minute. What did Brother Bam say? He said, I believe this was the advancement of the Roman Catholic Church. Although I knew it could be the vision of some woman rising to great power in America, elected by the popular female vote. So the answer to question 8 is, let's just believe like our prophet chose to believe, that it will be the Catholic Church, then that settles the question. If there is to be an optics, then you're just as correct to say that that was Hillary Clinton as you are in believing it will be another woman. Personally, without major cheating, I don't think she can win. But that doesn't stop the Biden administration from using lawfare and character assassination against his opponent. She definitely is lying to gain the women's vote, and perhaps she will. And Brother Branham said in Middletown, right over here, where J.D. Vance is from, which is kind of ironic in itself, but from Jezebel religion, which he preached over there, there'll come a worship of a woman in the United States, and that'll be Mary. Not Kamala, not Hillary, that'll be Mary. I seen it in 1931. Seven things happened. I got it right on paper here for me, wrote it in 1931. How that I said, this President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he will cause all the world, help to do it, send the world to war. Hadn't come to war yet, during times of depression. And I said another thing, and my mother, a square-backed Democrat, if she didn't look at me hard when I said that, I said, I don't care if there's a Republican, or if he was a socialist or whatever he is, this is thus saith the Lord. And I said, doing this, they're permitting women to vote. And when they do that, they've done one of the greatest disgraces this nation ever done. And I said, someday they'll pay for it. And they did at this last election. That's what elected him. Women. Who's he talking about? He's talking about JFK. Then from the Thyatiran Church Age, I said, then after the war, we finally win it. And after the war is over, it'll come to pass that science will be inventing great things. And I said, when they do, they'll make an automobile, and automobiles will continually shape down, you know, what they look like in 33 now. And they said, they'll become like eggs. Look at an egg. For I've seen on the highway, listen to this, a great master highway, a car going down the road that didn't have any steering wheel in it. It was controlled by power. They got it now, I said, during that time. I've seen pictures of it. People playing chess at the, it was actually presented in a concept at the World's Fair, I think it was like 1960. And Elon Musk he's already done it. Now they're permitting women to vote, and women in voting, well, finally, and I said this nation is a woman's nation. It's marked by a woman. It's a woman right down through prophecy everywhere, and number 13 everywhere in prophecy. And I said, it's a woman's country. She has her liberties here. In other words, abortion. We're killing more people than any other country. And she'll ruin it. She is the ruination of the world. So look for the total ruination of this nation and the world. Any sensible person can see that she has not mentioned policies at all in her campaign, but she has used a campaign of joy and hate, or hate Trump, which works on emotions and feelings as her campaign weapon. In other words, she's just an emotional person. All she does is get up there and just yell, just bickers. But she has not defined any policies. She tells you she is going to make the economy good, but doesn't say how, except corporations. She blames corporations for price gouging. Now, you tell me if a store like Kroger's is making 1% on their produce and everything else in the store, how are you going to call that price gouging? They got to make a profit to stay open. The woman doesn't even understand economics. There is no price gouging. Well, sure, there may perhaps be, after a hurricane, everyone big and even small gouges. But on the whole, there's no price gouging. But food is up 25%, and food margins at the grocery store is only 1% profit. Gas is a result of stopping drilling in the USA and having to buy from Venezuela, our sworn enemy. But she is campaigning against a single man, and she has never shown a plan to make things better. Just against his personality, even though the economy prospered under his administration. and we did not go to war. So I can see it can go that way. For certain it can go that way, but I don't think it will. Because women in general are more emotional and are interested in feeling, while men are more interested in thinking things out. Now, let me just say that you women, you wouldn't be in this message if you hadn't have thought things out. All right? You women who are believers don't believe in murdering abortion. If you were more interested in feelings and right thinking, you would believe this message. Or you would believe it. Just remember, we know what the prophet told us, so it looks like she could get in, but if she doesn't get in by a woman's vote, then don't say, oh, Brother Branham's wrong. There's still 2 months more before the inauguration, and a lot can happen in those 2 months. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, that the end times will be really hard to deal with and hard. You know, it's going to be very tough and trying times. But we will know the first part very soon, like on Tuesday, possibly Tuesday. So it's later than we think. I don't say on election day that we'll know for sure, because the Democrats are notorious for delaying an election until they get enough votes to swing it their way, even if they have to get dead men to vote. Which they do. Now, I've seen a meme where someone put a lock on the gate of the cemetery so they can't come in and rob votes. So, anyway, and history shows that to be the case, they've done, my dad told me about it back in Bloomington, Minnesota in the 1960s, okay? That's when it switched from being a Democrat to a Republican. But we could be in it for a rough time. But if he wins, and notice this is a vote between a man and a woman, and if he wins this vote, we could still have martial law placed on this country by the Biden administration, who has already shown they're capable of doing it when they locked everything down, which would not surprise me if it happens, but then we're ready for tribulation, which is one step away, which means we're going home. So just keep in prayer. Like Paul said, when you've done everything you can do to stand, just simply stand. Enjoy these next 2 to 3 months, because then you're going to get a change of the body and you're going home. And so all we can do is just wait until that time that God is ready to bring the third pole and we get a body change. Remember, person asks the question, is it possible that you could speak the word? He said, well, that's a good thought. But you got to remember, I don't do anything until God tells me first. So he's waiting on God, and we're going to wait on God too, with the prophet. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful for your word, and we just ask you, Lord, to be with us and help us through these times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.